Welcome, foolish mortals.
Time to be turning around. If only you could.
Cause this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness!
Henry, what's holding you up? Let's get on with the show. We can't hang around here all day.
Ladies and gents, this is the moment you've waited for.
There's no turning back now.
This is the greatest show! It's coming in on the burning lights. We're running away, so running tonight. Impossible comes true. It's taking over you. This is the greatest show!
Now it's time for the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast. With your hosts, Michael Hurley and Gary Aruda.
That's right. This is the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast, episode number 349, recorded from the D. Fauntleroy Studios in Kent County, Rhode Island, in sunny Southwest Florida. I'm your host, Gary, joined as always by my co-host and my cousin, Mike, down in Florida. How you doing today, Mike?
Doing okay, Pods.
That's good. Play a little golf this weekend or what?
We played at Longboat Key yesterday.
Oh, a little scramble. Let me see. You got your cousin who's a little bit better than you, is that right?
Yeah, he's a nine. He's about five better.
So how are the Phils? What are their handicaps? Are they around you a little worse? About the same?
I'm better than old Phil, and I'd say I'm probably what new Phil is.
Okay. So he's a
guy who's like
steady Eddie, but
he struggles big time at times, and then really good at times. One of those guys.
So, all right. So, with that being said, knowing your game, knowing that Kurt's a more steady nine, and you got a couple other guys around your level, I'd say you went with a 63.
No, because we buy the string. You buy string and mulligans. We're 50.
Oh, so you're probably 51 then.
52 or 53.
Oh, it was one of those where you shoot 20 under then. Okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't know it was the cheating ones. Not cheating. I mean, it's part of the rules, but
right.
With those advantages. Do you think, did that save you about 10 shots with the mulligans and the string? Or did you play pretty good?
No, we played good, but you got to make birdie on every hole.
Right. What was the winning score? Like 49?
Yeah, 49 or 48. We had
ridiculous.
We had one par, and the rest were birdies, and we had two eagles.
Yeah. It's almost, a 48 or 49 or whatever, it's almost not even fun. Like, do you get enjoyment playing in that if you're shooting 48 or 47?
Well, you're still playing golf. It's just now you're trying to lag your putt, so you're not using as much string. Have you ever played with string?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. So you get it close and you get like 3 feet or one, whatever it is.
So we all bought the package. It was $70. So you got raffle tickets. Mm-hmm. You got the helicopter golf ball drop. You got five mulligans.
Oh, how'd the helicopter thing, whatever it is.
Helicopter dropped. Yep.
I'm guessing you didn't win that.
No, I didn't win it. No. So what was I going to say?
So you each had string.
So all of us had string, correct?
How much was it, like 2 feet, 3 feet each?
Yeah, 2 or 3 feet.
So that's a lot. So if you get an eagle putt within a foot, tapping in for birdie, you use the string and you made an eagle.
Right.
Did you only use it on the greens, or did you ever have a situation where you were like...
No. You
in
just
a trap and you...
Yeah. No. You only use it on the green. And then, I'm trying to explain, because he's got, the Phils wanted to have an eagle. Well, we got to be 49 to win. I'm like, yeah, but I don't want to use a foot and a half of string when we could use a foot and a half to make four birdies.
Right.
Because you don't want to, you're going to give up four birdies to get one extra stroke on an eagle.
Right. Doesn't make a lot of sense.
No, it makes no sense. So then new Phil is giving. So we're on a par three, right? Mm. And, I flare one out, right? Kurt hits five iron behind the flag, but he's on the green. So we're in good shape. The other guys miss it.
Yeah.
So old Phil says, I'm going to take my mulligan. And we're looking at him like, why? He goes, well, this is closest to the hole.
Oh, so you wanted to win a prize.
Yeah. So new Phil goes, okay. And I get in the cart and he goes, the hell? Kurt goes, what the hell is he doing? I said, it's closest to the hole. He's taking his mulligan. I go, I thought this was a team event. He's like, apparently. So then we get up to the hole. I mean, it's a good
What do you
hole.
Do on a second one? Do you even knock it out?
I flubbed it, put it in a bunk or something. And closest to the hole is 5'5". 5 feet, 5 inches. So then it was like the same type of thing. Like, we're in decent shape, and New Phil says, I'm going to take one of my mulligans. And then Kurt goes, oh, another good use of a mulligan. Because we had one mulligan left.
Yeah.
So we're coming down, and I bomb drive down the middle. So we got about 87 yards into the pin. So New Phil hooks it. He's left of the green. Old Phil does something. He misses the green. So then Kurt hits sand wedge, and he chunks it.
Oh, boy.
And then I'm like, oh, no. So now I got sand wedge, right? And I chunked it even worse than he did. So no, we're not on the green.
None on the green from 87.
It's the only hole on the course that we're not on the green, right?
Right.
So I said, all right, we got one mulligan. I'm like, Kurt, I'm going to give you my mulligan because you're a better iron player. And then he hit sand wedge onto about 15 feet. So we're like, whew. Because, I mean, you can't miss greens with four guys.
No, because at least you got a chance to make the putt.
You got a chance to make the putt, but now if you all have to chip, like, now you're looking at...
Yeah, scrambling for a par using some string for your birdie or whatever.
Yeah.
That's funny. Using a mulligan for closest to the pin.
Isn't that ridiculous?
And the prize was probably like a $10 gift card Hooters or something.
It was a dozen balls. All right. It's a dozen Bridgestone balls. Okay, I'd like that. But
that's $50 though. That's not even like a huge thing. Like the prize to win the tournament is probably better.
It's not like they were putting like two nights at Longboat Key in.
Right. Because
like that was part of this silent auction. I think you got like a weekend at the lodge and around a golf or something. So I mean, yeah, sure, that's nice to win.
Mm-hmm.
But
just using it. That's incredible. Using it, try to get closest to the pin.
Isn't that fantastic?
Like it'd be one thing if none of you hit the green and you were like, oh, we'll just chip it up. He's like, oh, let me take my mulligan here. I'll try to knock one
right.
Close. You'd be like, all right, whatever. It makes sense on this one. But
yeah,
just to do it, to try to win a
and to say, well, it's closest to the green. So you're not like, you know what? I think I got this. I'm going to get us closer or something. You're basically saying I'm doing this because I want to try to win a prize.
That's incredible. I love that. That's a great
isn't that great?
That and he has his 3-wood now. He's good.
Yeah, because he left it at a different course.
That's my favorite story.
Like that one?
I love that, and it played out live on our
area. on our show. Yeah,
because you texted him about. He may have never said anything to you.
No, probably not.
Because
I had to initiate that.
Yeah, he acted like a complete buffoon.
He blew off the cocktails after the round. Yeah, absolutely.
He was throwing your club under the bus.
Oh yeah, there's no Rangers out here. And
now are these guys all playing nice to you now that you're a member at a nice private course? Like trying to schmooze up, like, hey, you know, you're free on Saturday.
Oh yeah, I'm not taking them out. It's $100 now in season.
Oh, for guest fees?
Yeah. I mean, and I can take
Kirk. You know, the Phils aren't going to pay.
No, well, old Phil will. He said he wants to come out. Oh, new Phil did.
Yeah.
You want to hear a great story?
I always like to hear
this. This is even better.
Okay.
So old Phil is always trying to get golf balls.
Oh, yeah. You said he'll putts around like while you guys are hitting like in a pond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So on the first hole, and there's a ball in the rough. He picks the ball up, right? And then he sees, you know, the group looking for a ball.
Oh, boy.
Are you guys playing a Bridgestone? Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Picked it up. So picks up the ball. So on the backside, he does the same thing. Oh, he picks up a ball, right? And
like, doesn't he see if like people are playing a hole? He just picks it up.
I mean, everybody, you know, it's a scramble. So there's carts all over the place. So you just assume, you know?
Yeah.
So all of a sudden he goes, you guys looking for XYZ? Yep. Okay. Oh, that's my ball. Oh, okay. So he gives it to him, right? Kurt looks over at me. He goes, what the hell is he doing? It's a freaking scramble for crying out loud. He goes, his ball's all over the place. He goes, leave him down. Leave him alone. So I lost a ball yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay. On a par three, I kind of stood up on an 8-iron and just kind of chunked it, hooked it, left. So, you know, I look for it for like, you know, 2 or 3 minutes. The guys are going up to the green. Obviously, we're not playing my ball, so I'm taking my time. They go up to the green, fix their ball mark, blah, blah, blah. Kurt's like, where did you find it? I'm like, no, I didn't find it. I get a text from Phil this morning.
Oh, jeez.
Is this your ball? It was mine.
How did he put it? He back?
Yeah, he took it. I don't know if he went back or if he was driving through because it was kind of like on the crushed, You know how they have it down here?
The shells or whatever?
The shells, the crushed shells. And it was cart path only because of the storm. So we're following the cart path. So we're going through there. And he must have saw it on the side and picked it up. He's in my group. He saw me. I hit it in that vicinity.
So why did he text you about it? Like, what made him think to text you?
He was like, "Was this yours on it? It was just yours on 5. I haven't texted him back yet." I'm like, "That's my damn ball." I'm like, "I'm gonna tell Kurt I want it back," because now I'm upset.
Well, I don't understand any of it. Like, why would he text you about it?
Because he probably realized, "Oh, I wonder if this is Mike's ball." Because all he does is collect balls on the golf course.
I'm so confused by this. When did he realize it? Like, he goes home and like takes count of all the, "Ooh, this is a Nike, this is a Bridgestone."
Yeah.
Like, is that his move? He gets home. Like, how would he know it's yours? If he gathers 20 during a tournament, like, you don't play anything special.
I don't know.
It's not like you play a bright orange. Like, it's not like me. I play the Vice, which are not very common. You know, if he picked up a Vice, you'd be like, "Oh, I know Gary plays Vice. This is probably his." Like, you play the TaylorMades, right?
No, I play Titleist. Well, I play all over, but this was a Titleist. Yeah, it was my, and it was one of those refurbed. You know how I bought the box of Pro V1 refurb, right? So I zoom in, right? So I press on the picture to text, and I zoom in, right? And it says refurbed. I'm like, that son of a bitch stole.
Can you pull it up now? Show me on the camera. I want to see the picture of the refurb ball. That's incredible. Is this your, like, why even ask at that point?
Because now you're like, I stole, like, if you stole something, you're not going to tell the guy.
Not a golf ball.
Oh, by the way, that $10 that was, like, you know, underneath your sink, was that yours? Yeah. Like, you can't admit. He just admitted
it. I thought, like, he went back after, like, the live auction and went back to find the ball. Mind if I just take a card out and go look for some balls? I think, like, that would be a great move, though, for him. After the tournament's over, everyone's in. "Oh, I left my 6-iron out there. You mind if I take a cart and ride around?" He just goes around hawking balls for like 20 minutes.
Still trying it, can you?
He'd probably come back with a dozen of them.
Hey, so can...
Like,
can
why has he said... I can see it.
Can you see it? Is this
why
your ball?
Why has he said in the picture? Hold
and
on.
Then we're going to we'll click on the ball. See, it says refurbished?
Yeah. That's stupid. With the blue line... And you put the blue line on and everything...
Isn't that fantastic?
That's amazing. I love it. I don't understand. None of it makes sense to me. It's incredible. Like, the fact that, let's go through all the things that don't make sense here. One,
okay,
why did he pick it up if he knew you were in that spot? So he was like driving ahead of you. He happened to see it and he just got out and picked it up or something.
Yes.
Okay. So he knew you hit it over there. Two, he saw you looking for a ball after he just picked one up.
I'm in there looking for it.
And he didn't, like, it didn't dawn on him to be like, "Oh, I picked one up. Are you playing this?"
He's probably, maybe three. Maybe he felt guilty. Maybe he's like, "Screw him. I'm keeping it." And then he slept on it and said, "Oh, man, that poor guy took his ball."
So number three.
We're on three.
Number three, he goes back after the round and puts them all on his counter and takes, like, inventory of them. That's insane. Then four. He has the audacity to take a picture of it and text it to you, ask if it's your ball. This guy's incredible. Incredible. This is the same Jamoke who lost his club. This is the same guy. He's incredible. That's incredible. I can't believe it.
Do you remember I told you live, I said, "These are the guys I play golf with"? And that's who I play golf with.
That's incredible. This is the most insane thing. That's amazing. Like, why even text you? It's a golf ball. It's $3 tops.
Not my refurbished. They come out to like 75 cents because I lose them.
But a brand new one is only $3-4. Like, it's not even worth the text. That's incredible.
I mean, there's times where, like, he's out of a hole, and sometimes I think he likes being out of a hole because it gives him a few minutes to go.
Yeah, yeah.
He grabs, like, his ball retriever, and he's, you know, going around the edge of the lake, and, you know, Phil will be like, come on, let's go. We're going to the next hole. I mean, it's like...
You got to, like, round him up. We were playing... Then,
like, sometimes he gets lost, too. Like, he forgets, like, that, you know, he's playing in a foursome.
Mm-hmm.
So like he'll hit his shot and just start driving to the green. And like, I'm standing there with my 9-iron. Like you kind of do, you hold it like a cane because you're irritated. You know that you know that pose where you just like, what are you doing?
And then you just, when he finally looks back, you just like, you like this?
Yeah, yeah.
Come on. What are you doing? Oh, sorry. Oh, come on. Hit up. The other day we played North Kingstown.
Oh, North Kingstown Muni. My
dad and I, a few weeks ago. I shouldn't say the other day. And we're behind this group. It's two guys and two women. They got paired up. And on like the 17th hole, we're coming down 16. They're on the 17th tee. One of the ladies, they were waiting to tee off because it was a little backed up. You hear her. She hits her drive. It goes about 4 yards into the woods. And then you just hear her go, well, it wasn't a total loss because while we were waiting, I found 6 balls in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She just sits sitting there pulling them out.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm up 6 balls, so it's worth it.
Well, that's how he measures it, too. He'll say, I lost 2 and found 4, so it was a good day. Yes.
Oh, okay. So you shot 96, but you gained your +2 on balls.
Right.
So he's the kind of guy, he'll just, like, throw a random yellow ball on the tee on one hole, and then the next hole he throws. Does he steal range balls, too, you think?
No, I don't think. I've never seen the one that says practice. I haven't seen that one.
Oh, this is a water hole. He throws the range ball on there. I think you did that. When we played at university, I think you threw a range ball on a tee for one hole.
Oh, did I? I may have.
Oh, that's crazy. I don't have a beer this week because I had some heartburn before coming on. I didn't feel like drinking a beer.
Oh, fantastic.
I don't know what it was. I had some salmon. I made some salmon and risotto for dinner. So I don't know if that gave me heartburn or not, but I figured I'd
feel it right here.
Yeah, I was laying down with Yergina Jr. Yep. Getting her ready for bed, and I just was like, oof. So I took some Rolaids after I got up, and then
you good when you burp it out?
Yeah, that helped. I got up and I did a really big burp, like a burning burp, but it helped. Definitely got it out. So with that being said, we'll just go to our first break and we'll be right back.
All
right,
sounds good.
All right, we are back from break, episode 349 of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast with Mike and Gary. This week, we're going to do a little Masters recap and some Disney news.
Before we go on, I asked the four guys or the three guys, right? We're in the middle of the fairway and we're waiting on the group on the green. So I asked all three of them if they pooped this morning.
Right, you did. You mentioned that in the group, yeah.
And it was just dead silence.
No, they didn't even answer. They weren't like, what's wrong with
you? Well, they kind of like
all ignored you.
They couldn't believe that I asked that question.
Haven't they known you for a while? This is the first time this has come up.
So then Kirk kind of, he goes, what? I go, I was just wondering if all three of you guys pooped yet this morning. I said, because, you know, I had to get up at 5:30. It just throws your system off. And Kirk's like, yeah, I did. And the other guy still didn't answer. So, I mean.
You got an answer. Your cart mate at least answered.
Yeah.
Those carts look nice. They had the GPS in it and everything.
This thing's a garbage.
No good?
Oh, those Easy Go are absolute garbage.
Which one? That's what they had at Disney, though, right? The new fleet was the Easy Go?
Yeah, it may have been. When I was working at the Oaks, we had after our lease was done, we got the new fleet. None of the GPSs worked. So we had to swap out 110 GPSs. These things get locked up all the time for absolutely no reason.
Oh, like you go off the cart path or things.
No, not even that, because if you go off, you can get off by reversing the cart.
Right, that's true.
It won't go forward, so you have to reverse it out. No, this thing will just lock up. Mm. When I was playing the Ritz, I had to put it in reverse. I couldn't get it in reverse. So then, you know, the trick is put it in neutral, hit the gas pedal a couple times, and I'll go. So anyways, I got stuck a couple times at the Ritz. Yesterday, me and Kirk got stuck, and it was almost a Disney. You know, I flipped the seat up and, you know, shut the thing off and on. I tried doing every trick, and we couldn't get this thing to go.
Oh, really?
So we almost had to throw the bags on our shoulders and hoof it. Yeah, it was, you know, we putted out, and the Phils tried to push us with their cart, but it was completely locked. So
you couldn't even get it in neutral?
Couldn't get it. No, you couldn't get it. We couldn't move it, so.
That's funny.
But then it ended up going again. So, yeah, those easy goes are absolute garbage. Stay with the club car. Club cars are fantastic. Club cars are
better. All right.
They're not easy tricked up.
I mean, unless EasyGo wants to sponsor us, then we can talk about it.
Yeah. I mean, they're not tricked up, but they do it service purpose, you know?
It's funny that you knew the trick. Like, you know the special.
Oh, I know all those tricks working in the cart barn.
Oh, anyway, so we're going to talk a little bit Masters. So we're a little late this week recording. You had your big tournament, then you wanted to watch the Masters. I didn't really have anything to talk about, but what'd you think of the November Masters overall? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
It didn't feel much different to me as a spectator. I liked not having patrons, as they call them. I liked the course being open. It really gave me a lot of perspective on a lot of different holes that you don't normally get. I don't know. I like golf better with nobody there, I have to say. I like watching these guys play an empty golf course. I think it's cool.
Okay.
Without the grandstands and everything, you could see how wide open it is. They were even talking about how some of the holes you have to wait for guys to tee off and stuff that you couldn't even see them in the past because of all the crowds and everything. So I did like that. Did you watch all of today's coverage?
Yes, I did. Yep. Yeah.
Did you see Tiger made his 10?
You know, you know what's amazing? He shot 39 on the back.
I know.
He shot 39 with a 10 on a par 3. I mean, if we take a 10 on a par 3, we're looking at a 5, potentially a 6 at the beginning of our score.
Yeah, that's definitely close to 6 because you got to shoot on the other 8 holes. You got to shoot 5s, and then you're at 50. So we'd have to play good to break 50 on mm-hmm. that 9. Mm-hmm. And he shot 39. That was incredible. What did he finish with? 5 birdies in a row or something? Or 5 out of the last 6 he birdied?
5 out of 6, yeah. He birdied the last 4.
That's crazy. I mean, you can't play the, if only this didn't happen. He still didn't have a chance. He could have made a 1 on that, and he still wouldn't have been anywhere near it, you know.
If he didn't, he would have been, top 10, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, if he didn't. But that's incredible, though, to see a guy. Like, both the shots that ended up, the first two that ended up in the water weren't even that bad. Like that second shot, he landed it 10 feet and it's sucked back into the water. Yep. And then he's sculling one out of the bunker. You like to see that, don't you?
Yeah.
Once in a while.
Yeah.
I didn't mind that. It's incredible, though, to see a 10. They said his previous highest score on a par 3 was a 6.
Isn't that crazy?
Tournament play. Yeah.
A 6. I mean, it's a triple bogey.
Which isn't, that's bad. These guys,
that's bad, but that's not you wouldn't think that that's the worst score he's ever had.
Yeah, on a par 3. In a major, though, they're saying. I don't know if that's maybe in any tournament.
Oh, okay. All right. A major. But still,
all the amount that he's played. Yeah. But the 10, that's crazy. I was reading an article on, I think it was ESPN or golf.com or something. They had an interview with the caddy. That caddy for him in his first Masters when he was an amateur, because that's back when they still matched you up with the club caddies. You couldn't take your own caddy to Augusta.
You could take your own caddies.
Well, that ended at some point, but
I think it might have been the 80s from what I understand. Okay. But
he still took a guy that was a club caddy.
Maybe because he was an amateur, he just didn't have his own caddy, probably.
And he got matched up with this guy and they were interviewing him and they went into the first round, and the guy's going through his bag, and he says, "Hey, you only have 3 balls in here." He goes, "Oh, that's all I need." And he finished, and he never even touched the third one. He only used 2 balls in that round. I was thinking of that. Imagine if he only had 3, he would have ran out on that hole. In the drink.
You've seen the interview with Stevie Williams.
Yeah.
Have you seen the Golf Channel does a show, a thing, and it was about like greatest rounds or greatest tournaments. Yeah. And it was the one where he ran away with the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach.
Oh yeah, he was like 20 under or something.
Yeah. So I guess they said like he wasn't happy with his putting. So the night that night before the final round, he was putting in his hotel room, and he didn't put the balls back in his bag. Oh, so what happened was it was the tournament. It was either dark or there was a little weather, so he couldn't finish.
Oh, okay.
So he didn't put the balls back in his bag, so he had to come out and he had to play a couple more holes. So he said Stevie like realized that there weren't many balls, and he was coming to 18, and he gave a ball. Tiger gave a ball to a kid.
Oh, geez.
And he said Stevie said like I couldn't go ask the kid for the ball back because I'd look like a jerk. He said, and then he duck hooks his tee shot.
Oh,
he said, into the water. He said, we're down to his last ball. He goes, if he hits another one, now he's DQ'd or whatever. Right. He said, I'm getting fired, this and that. And he said, he's running away with this tournament. And he said, I want to tell him to hit 3-wood or even 3-iron, just play it right in the middle. And he's like, he picked out his driver. And I said, if he makes a bad swing, he said, I'm fired. Toast.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good story.
It's not good for Stevie, but it's a good story in hindsight.
I mean, could you imagine sweating? You forget
what to put would the you say? Because you can't tell them. You can't be like, "Oh, this is your last ball." By the way.
By the way, if you hit this into the water, we're going to be disqualified. Now the Pacific Ocean looks a lot bigger than it is.
That is incredible. But Dustin Johnson, world number one, he won it going away by 5 shots. Mm-hmm. What's incredible to me, though, he broke the record by 2 shots, 20 under. But the guy who finished at second, Cameron Smith, he's the first player ever to shoot 60 all 4 rounds in the 60s. Only player, because DJ didn't. He shot 70 round two. I found that hard to believe. The only player ever in the Masters to shoot in the 60s all 4 rounds in a single
tournament. Only player ever.
Ever. Yep. Imagine that, and you don't even win it. That's pretty incredible to me. Because 70 is a good score. Tiger, every time he won it, he shot 70 in the first round.
Yes, yeah, because I saw like a stat about...
Because his best first rounds, he was like 70, 70, 70, 70, 68, and he finished third the last time he shot 68. He shot 68 this time, and he finished 50th or something.
Right. But...
And then your boy Bryson, he pooped down his leg, didn't he?
Yeah.
Did you see him now afterwards? He's like, well, I was dizzy. You know, I didn't feel good. I was dizzy. My head.
What was that all about?
I don't know, but they said like he took like an emergency COVID test after the second round because his head was all messed up and it came back negative, so he kept playing.
Okay,
so I don't know.
You believe him?
Or do
you
I guess. I mean, I think he's kind of a baby, though. I mean, he did bomb it on some holes, but he was all over the joint.
Mm-hmm.
Not the best strategy, I guess. I don't know. I kind of wanted him to be up there and like compete, but he just kind of fizzled out right away.
Phil said Sir Nick was messing with him again. Sir Nick doesn't like him at all.
Phil, right? Or Bryson, you mean?
He doesn't like Bryson.
Oh, okay. What happened?
I forget what he said, but he was just saying like he's not playing the course the correct way or something.
Oh, that's interesting, though, because I was watching something ahead of time on like Wednesday, and he was hitting balls on the range, and he was like BSing with Faldo. And Faldo was like looking at his like...
Oh, really?
His swing thing, and he carried it 400. He was all impressed and giving him...
I don't know, because if you listen to him, I don't think Faldo's fond of him. I think Faldo's just one of those old-school traditional guys who doesn't want to see where this game's going.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really have a problem with that. I think I've said that. There's not what can you do? He's not doing anything wrong.
There's nothing you can do, but it's just the same thing with baseball.
Right.
Okay, like the nerds have stat sheets that say that you have to take Blake Snell out because the third time around the order he gets hit.
Sure.
Or everybody gets hit. Well, like Dickie V was on local radio here and he said they had to win that game 1-0 because they weren't scoring runs.
Right.
So they had to shut them out. And the only chance that they had of shutting him out was leaving this guy who's pitching the game of his life in.
Right.
So anyways, relating to golf, I mean, that's just the way the sport is, but I don't watch it anymore.
Yeah.
Because I don't enjoy baseball. I don't enjoy having 9 guys pitching a game. I don't enjoy taking a starter out in a third after he gives up a bloop single. It's not the game that I liked. And
right.
Yeah. I'd hate to see that happen to golf too.
I'd hate to see that happen, but I don't think changing the rules. Like, whether they change the ball, he's still going to hit it further than everybody.
Well, yeah, because everybody says change the balls. I said, well, that's going to hurt a guy like Zach Johnson. You know, the boomers are still going to, okay, so you're not, so you're only hitting at 290. Well, now Zach Johnson's hitting at 220.
Right, exactly.
And he's got three woods into par fours. See how that's going to go.
Yeah. And you can't change the courses. It's not that easy to change the courses.
Yeah.
And if you do, they're not playable for people like us. I mean,
you can have 20 different sets of tees.
Yeah, but the tee complexes are going to take up so much room. You don't have like room to build the course. You're going to have all the Northeast course will be just obsolete because they're all old and 6,400 yards, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. What can you do? It's obviously not like the game because you and I still aren't hitting it 340 yards. Like we couldn't figure out.
We also don't have, I mean, I think we could get a lot more distance if we had a 4-degree lie on our driver.
I guess, but
if we had a 48-inch shaft.
Yeah, but we could buy that and practice with it, I suppose.
Yeah, but the thing is that you and I aren't going to keep it in play. We have trouble enough keeping it in play with a 10 loft.
Yeah, 10 and a half. It's not easy. Yeah. Sure, you get more distance, of course. But, I mean, he tees that thing up. It looks like he's hitting it off a baseball tee, doesn't it?
Somebody said, so I forget who it was. I think it was, who's the nerdy guy that I think you said you don't like him? He won a couple majors, yeah. Where's his hair parted over, dark hair? Justin Leonard.
Oh, Justin, yeah.
He said it looked like he put his ball on a bar stool. I almost fell off the couch. that's fantastic, isn't it?
Well, maybe that's the way then. Just make the tee length. You can only use 2-inch tees or something. And then you can't use these massive drivers. You have to use a different driver. Same swing, same ball. Change the maximum tee.
Here's the thing. He hasn't dominated anything.
No,
that's true. So we'll see. I mean, it's still up in the air whether this is the right way to play.
But then again, like DJ hits at 320 and he hits every fairway. And he even said on the, like, they were talking to Faldo, he's like, yeah, I could hit it 340, 350 all the time, but I'd rather hit it 315 or 320 and know where
DJ said that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, all these other guys, you can see that they're not big fans because they always talk about, well, I'm just going to play my game. I want to hit fairways and greens. And
right. I mean, it's a huge event. Even like you look at these guys like McIlroy and DJ and they're hitting wedges and 8-irons. I mean, they're hitting 8-irons into par fives at Augusta.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a completely different game. It's hard to imagine. They still can't, like, destroy the place. Like, I think this week I watched more golf than ever. This Masters, like, on the app and everything, and then watching, like, the complete coverage on TV. And you can watch, like, the nice thing about the Masters website is you can watch one group and just stick with them.
Mm-hmm.
You see how many shots that they don't hit. Like, you assume every time, like, when you watch the regular CBS coverage of, like, the Buick Open, they show you the leaders who are all playing great, and then they show you replays of great shots.
Right.
Of a so you assume here, these guys are throwing darts all the time.
Yeah.
These guys miss, not that they miss a lot of greens, but they, even with a wedge, sometimes they'll miss the green or they'll be 25 feet away. And you're like, oh, that's not that great. And then, you know, they two-putt. They never three-putt like us and things like that. And their chipping is unbelievable watching these guys make
up and
down.
Did you see that chip from the South Korean?
Oh, M? Yeah.
On what was it?
From behind the green on 15?
15, the par 5 where he flew it and almost put it in the water.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at that. I'm like, I'm either putting that or this could be a 20. I could easily because –
you get it up, and it comes back up and back up.
Coming. Either comes back to your feet, or
you almost made
it.
The thing.
When I just heard that, and I saw the ball go up in the air, and I said, if that lands where it looks like it's going to land, that's going to be a golf shot. And whew. Did you say do any? Oh, good golf shot.
Good shot parts. No, I was impressed with him. His backswing is insane.
I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, maybe I'm going to go to the range on Tuesday and try doing that. Oh, it's just so pure.
Yeah, it's fun watching these guys. I mean,
I was happy for DJ, though. I like DJ a lot.
I have no problem with him. He doesn't have a great personality. Like, he's not a bad guy. He's just kind of boring. He didn't even, like, get pumped when he won it. He was just like, takes out.
Yeah. Yep.
I was pulling for Rory, but that 75 obviously killed him.
It was a good call by either Faldo or Nance when they said that they always say about the Masters, you can't win the Masters on the first day, but you can lose
it. You can lose it, that's right.
That is true.
Any other Masters thoughts? What else you got?
I don't know.
I just love, I mean, their website and the app they have is incredible. Every major should have that.
Oh, you know what?
What's that, sir?
I Google searched Augusta National.
Mm-hmm. You find a tea time from like
On Golf Now. Especially right. Hello, I need that 12:40. Can I still get it for 39? So it's everything we knew. It's like invite only.
Right.
I saw it was like 75,000
initiation.
Or yeah.
Yeah.
The fees are only like six change a month.
Oh yeah, I believe that.
I thought that would be like, you know, another 20 grand a year on top of that.
I don't think they care. I think these guys just will pay whatever. Like if they just say, hey, we need this, then everyone just chips in and pays. I wonder if they have like yearly assessments and stuff, though.
Who knows? But that's a good deal. I mean, it's a good deal, relatively speaking. Like I'm not going to write a check for 75,000, but that's...
You'd consider it for that place. That's like one of the few where you'd be like, yeah, I could get...
That place is just so intriguing because it's so prohibited. You know what I mean? Like you almost want to like climb the fence just to like you're 12 years old.
Oh yeah, like, it wouldn't matter what you had. You could tell them you'd pay like a $500,000 initiation, and they'd be like, "No, you have to be invited by somebody." You know, it's not like you could just roll out the checkbook and say, "I want to join here." I mean, I guess at some point, if you're that rich, you have a lot of connections, so it wouldn't be a problem. But
yeah, but I mean, plus you got to look
at... if you won Powerball and won $175 million, and you just called Augusta and was like, "I want to join," they'd probably tell you no.
Yeah,
then
you go, you know, then you do. Suppose like I make a $1 million donation to the some type of thing that their big charity in Augusta is.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
You know, I'll give $2 million to a homeless shelter in Augusta.
Rubbing elbows with some of the members there or something. Yeah,
but you got to think about some of the snobs that are on the waiting list.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And I don't mean snobs, but you know, like
I guess Peyton Manning's a member there because he was at the tournament. Yeah, because members could go.
Yeah, I mean there was a ton of people too on 18.
Not a ton, but
but more like you're not used to seeing that.
It was like almost jarring though, seeing like, oh, there's like 100 people here.
Yeah, like just because like I heard the claps and I'm like, where's the claps coming from? Because usually that's like every other tournament, like,
who's
be like
clapping?
It would be like a cameraman or you know,
a couple media people. Yeah, she's like, who's clapping? I was like, oh, they're letting the members. They said there's about 500 people.
How good swing?
Swing cards. No, that was cool. I like to see a DJ win it. I'm glad he didn't blow up because he's had a bad history with that last rounds of majors. He just
boy, was he steady or what though?
Oh, he made those two bogeys on the front, and I was like, "Here we go!" But then he came right back with a couple of birdies, and that was it. When he birdied, what was the par three birdie? Was it 8? No, 8's a par 5. He made a birdie, a nice decent birdie on a par 3, and then I think Smith had just missed a putt, and that was it. And
boy, how bad is his mustache?
Oh, that's the Larry Bird mustache.
Did you see that thing?
Oh, it's beautiful. That's bad. That's one where you just like, hey, man, listen, it's not working for you.
Mine was worse before I hit puberty.
I mean, him. I didn't even know who that guy was. I'll be honest with you. He's not high on my radar, but I liked his game. You see that shot he hit out of the trees? He didn't even see it.
Oh, didn't he almost knocked it in?
Yeah, I know. It was crazy.
Back to back holes, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. Or two out of three. It was nuts. Golf shot.
Good ball.
Nice out. Nice leave.
You're done now, aren't you, with golf?
Most likely. It was like 29 this morning when I woke up.
How'd that feel?
Not good, Bill. I had to run out and get milk. We were out of milk, so I had to go get milk for the girls, and I'm like sitting in the car for like 5 minutes waiting for the windshield to defrost.
No mini meltdowns?
Not yet. Not yet. We'll see. Talk to me in a month when we're completely locked down. Sun sets at 4 o'clock.
It's coming.
It's coming next week. She already said on Wednesday she's going to announce more lockdowns.
It's coming. Things. It's the North is just getting
Michigan just did
hammered.
Yeah. Michigan just did it. It's all coming. You're right. Well, let's talk some Disney since this is the Disney podcast. Speaking of
Okay.
Lockdown, Disney just decided to up their capacity up to 35%. Is that?
Yep.
Is that they? I guess they had been doing it, right? I think no, they I had. Have, I heard they had been for a little while, and they just announced that they've been at 35%. But they also said that Thanksgiving week is completely 100% booked out.
Mm-hmm.
At 35%, and then for the rest of the year, it's a total like 77% booked through the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So people are coming. It's getting worse again, but now the problem is, unless you live in Florida, you can't come from the Northeast. You got to quarantine. There's like travel bans from everywhere to everywhere.
What do you mean? I don't understand. Like, how? What do they do? Like, are they going to arrest you?
Well, no, but it's jobs though. Like my job won't let me back. If I go on vacation to Florida, I have to stay home for 2 weeks on my own dime, unpaid. Unless it's like necessary travel.
You know what the funny thing? If you come here, our numbers are much better than yours.
Well, it doesn't matter. It's any state that's over whatever per 100,000 people.
Even though your state is worse than
that. Yeah, exactly.
That's okay.
I mean, I'm not making these.
Yeah, no, I just,
but, you know, my job, I know that they're just trying to reduce the amount of people that are traveling, you know. So I don't know. It's crazy. Here's the craziest thing, which I didn't realize. For your Gina's schools, they said if someone in your family tests positive, so say I test positive for COVID, after I'm out, so it takes me 10 days to go through, right? Or 14, whatever it is. She has to stay home 14 days after I'm done. So her quarantine doesn't start until mine's done. So she'll be out of school for 24 days.
Oh, because technically it could take up to 14 days for her to get it. So not they're me. Saying she could have caught it on the 14th day.
Right.
And then they want 14 days. Well,
so it's 20. If I get it from the day of my positive test, she has to be out for 24 days. On quarantine, which is crazy. I mean, I that kind of stuff I get. Like, if you're in a household and someone has it, I totally agree with, you know, quarantine, stay in, keep people away. Obviously, that makes complete sense to me, but it's just going in such a crazy direction right now. And then you look at, like, your buddy out in California.
Oh, Gavin Newsom.
Didn't he just get busted for going to like a party at somebody's house with like 20 people?
Oh, good Lord. I don't know. Did you see that weasel? I'm not trying to change it, but that Chicago mayor, that little punk.
What does she do?
Lightfoot or whatever.
Yeah.
Light whatever she is, that little weasel telling you Lightfoot. Don't sing, don't go to church, you know, all right. These right-wing things. Oh, no, don't do any of these things. She went to celebrate Biden's victory.
Oh, she was downtown.
She was downtown. Bill, yeah. Guess what she said? It was gonna happen anyway.
Oh.
Isn't that fantastic, Bill? Yeah. It happened anyways.
Yeah.
We don't want you to spread it. We don't want you going to church. We don't want you coming down to Florida to celebrate the holidays with your family.
Right.
But when I do something, it's gonna happen anyways, Bill.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's okay. Yeah. It is crazy to me, and you know that. It's just at this point, it's not even, they're not even trying to hide it anymore. Like the hypocrisy.
What, the hypocrites?
Yeah, the hypocrites aren't even trying
you
to
mean
hide
like
it.
The person in California who went and got her hair cut?
Right, those kind of people.
Those people.
Or like the people who were celebrating when they announced Biden won, and then now they're wagging fingers at the people that were in
at
Washington,
the Trump rally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, well, why? I don't understand that. Like, I hate the whole, like, I don't want anybody doing that stuff. Like, I think it's dumb to be in giant crowds for any reason right now. But, like, you can't say it's okay to do it for this group of people, but this other group of people, it's no good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just, like I said, we've always said the hypocrites.
Politicizing a virus.
Right, exactly.
You just look like a big dope, don't you?
Oh, yeah. And it goes on both sides.
I saw this guy. He's an anti-masker.
Mm-hmm.
And so he shows a stat, and it says, you know, the numbers in Minnesota before the mask mandate, and then the numbers in Minnesota after the mask mandate, and they're skyrocketing. So he's trying to make a point because he's an anti-masker. So me just being very common sense, I'm like saying to myself, so what you're saying is that people who wear masks are spreading this? Like, they're right. super spreaders because we're wearing masks? Like, you have to explain the rest. You have to explain that one, too, because it doesn't make sense, does it?
It's like saying, well, you know, I didn't wear a mask in 2019. I didn't get coronavirus in 2019. But all of a sudden, it turned to 2020, and now coronavirus is. It's like, it's it didn't exist before people weren't wearing them. Like, they made a mask mandate because it was getting worse. I don't know.
But the state doesn't work.
Well, yeah, I don't know. The mask mandates don't seem to make a difference. Seems like every state's in the same boat, regardless of mask mandates or not.
Because I honestly don't think you catch it by going at Publix. Everybody says that they're being spread at home.
Restaurants, bars, and in home, where people aren't wearing masks. Those are the places where people don't. Like, I don't wear a mask when I'm at home. I'm with my family.
Gina might be.
Well, yeah, for now. We'll say be sleeping with my little neck gaiter on.
Yeah, wouldn't that be fantastic?
Is it, hey, Gene, I'm going to brush my teeth. Yeah, give me 30 seconds.
You pull the thing down.
No, so you have to wear like a bracelet. You get tased. Nope, put it back on.
Like ankle bracelets on you. It's like, yeah, exactly. Oh, my goodness gracious.
It is crazy, though. But you're right. I think it is all just, you know, spread in people's houses, like people having little get-togethers, parties.
They said that that's where they're seeing it. It's being spread in the house.
So there's nothing that the mask, like, I still think it's good, but it may spread more in Publix if people weren't wearing masks, if more people
weren't. It could, I think that you have to get a good amount, is from my understanding. So if you have it and you're in aisle two and you breathe and I walk by it and I get one or two droplets, I don't think it's enough to give it to me. I think what they say, because then they say too, like, if you're around people like for 15 minutes or so,
it's not guaranteed, but it's more likely. Yeah. But I think what the issue is, like, if you were in Publix and you saw someone you hadn't seen in a month and you talked for 20 minutes with them,
correct,
and you weren't wearing masks, then you might catch it there. But yeah, like, just walking and going about your business, getting your groceries, I'm sure you're fine.
I mean, like, Mr. Casciano made a decision. They were supposed to go out, and their friend, she's another anti-masker. Mm-hmm. And she's, you know, she's a real estate agent, and that alienates 50% of your potential client base. I don't understand that for the life of me. But she went up to Pennsylvania, and she was at a wedding with 130 people. So Kurt said to his girlfriend, "Do you want to go out to dinner with this couple?" And she's like, "Not really." I'm like, "I probably wouldn't either." Yeah, I'm not a parent. You know me. I'm more the other way than you are. But just use common sense.
Right.
Like, would I go to your house for Thanksgiving? Yes. Do I think it would be a good idea to go to a wedding with 150 people? I don't know.
Yeah. And would you come to my house for Thanksgiving if I had just been to a wedding for 150 with 150 people the week before or 2 days before? Maybe not. Like, that's what I mean.
I don't know. Again, I told you, there's no guarantee that we celebrate Thanksgiving next year. So.
Right, I understand. But you know what I'm saying. Like, it's kind of like, you got to make your choices. Like, is it worth going to get a hamburger with these people that you might not even like that much to go out, you know?
Right.
As opposed to something else. And, yeah, you just don't know. But
I have done a few times, Billy. I've shaken hands.
Oh, really? At the club? You put the sanitizer on right away after that?
I cleaned up. I met a guy yesterday on the range, and he saw my Sarah Bay shirt. He goes, "You remember there?" And I'm like, "Actually, I am." He goes, "I love that place." He goes, "Best quote ever." He goes, "It's the hardest, most easiest course I've ever played." I'm like, "That's exactly." He goes, "It's wide open, so you shouldn't lose a ball." He said, "But the greens are small and it's a tough course." He said, "But when you're done," he goes, "you don't feel like it kicked you." And I'm like, I've said that a million times. Yeah. Like, I shoot 98, but I don't feel exhausted and angry. And so he goes, "Yeah, my buddy was a member there, and he takes me out there." He said, "But the guest rate now is 105. And I was talking to a pro, and they said, "Oh, we got some great rate, you know, tiered memberships for people under 50. And so he's going to join. So we exchange phone numbers and stuff. Anyways, that's my Sarah base, or the shaking of the hands.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing. I don't think I've shaken anybody's hands, but, like, I guess if you shake somebody's hand and you put hand sanitizer on or wash your hands.
Yeah, I didn't pick my nose right after I did it.
That's what I mean. So if you're careful with that, it's not like it doesn't absorb through your hand and, like, go into you, you know? But if that guy was just picking his nose and then you shook your hand, then you put your finger in your mouth, then you might get it if he has it, you know? But you got to be careful. You could get, well, not, you're okay where you are, but you know, you shake somebody's hand up here, you can get shot down.
Oh, I mean, you could serve 10 to 20 easily up there, don't you think?
Yeah. It's crazy to me, though. All these politicians, both sides, all have been caught in public without masks on.
Mm-hmm.
They all waved the, like, Gina got caught on Block Island in a bookstore without her mask on.
Oh, she got caught, too. Remember, like, there was a rally, a BLM rally?
Yeah,
and they busted her outside of her house, too, without a mask?
No, was it? Yeah, and then, like, you see, like, Marty Walsh, the mayor of Boston, got caught.
He's a little weasel, too. He's a weasel, too.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a little chump.
But all these, like, and then, like, you said, like, what's her name? Pelosi getting her hair cut and, like, Newsom going to a house party. Like, they're all hypocrites.
Yeah.
They want you to do all this, and they wave their finger when you don't do it, or we're not doing a good enough job, but they don't do it.
You know what the problem is, too? It gets to a point where you're that kid whose parents were strict your entire life, and then, like, you turn 20 and you become an absolute maniac.
Just an animal, yeah.
Like, people who normally would do the right thing are going to say, you know what? Screw you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not wearing a freaking mask to Publix today because you're a pain in the ass.
Right. It is. It's discouraging because you're like, man, I'm doing this all day at work. I've worn a mask every day at work for the last, 7 months since they
did. Can you take like a little, do you go outside and take it off and kind of get the potato chips out of your beard? Or?
Well, yeah. I mean, if I go eat lunch in the back, I could, you know, obviously I take it off for a little while, or I can go outside and take it off. But, you know, it's like the whole day I'm wearing it every day. I don't complain. I don't mind. I'm trying to keep my family safe, you know, but.
Right.
But then you have the people, the politicians that are telling you it's the thing to do, and they don't even do it. It's like, well, why, you know, you got to at least do it yourself, at least put on appearances. I don't know. It drives you crazy. Drives you crazy.
Yeah, it does. It's just, I don't like hypocrites, Pods.
No, it's going to get bad. I think the next couple of months are going to be pretty bad politically and everything. Yeah, well, it's going to get worse. People are going to lose their minds. It's a powder keg, I think, right now. Just everything. The numbers are going to keep getting worse.
Are they building field hospitals yet up there?
They got a couple. They built one and they didn't use it at all. But now they're saying like within the next week, there's going to be, if the trend keeps going, there's going to be more patients than they can keep in the hospitals.
What do the projections look like in Rhode Island?
I mean, not good. The number of positive cases have been like over 1,000.
That's a lot.
For a week straight or so per day.
That's a lot.
Yeah. But the deaths are relatively low in the tens and twenties. That's a lot of people. Don't get me wrong. I'm not. I mean, I wish nobody would die from it. Obviously.
One person is too many. But we have to realize it came from China.
He's such a goof. But what I'm saying, I think the vaccine stuff. Like, I just hope that can get people back on track and people stop losing their minds over this thing. Cause now I'm to the point now where I'm like, we just need to figure it out and just either say everyone go out and, you know, let people get it or don't, or do a complete, like, we can't be doing this half wishy-washy thing. Cause if we keep doing this where the numbers go up and down like a roller coaster, and it's like, okay, it goes over this little plateau. Now you get all locked down again. It goes here, then you can go back outside your house. It's never going to go away. Like, either open everything or close everything.
Yeah, I think you have to open everything. I mean, you can't close everything.
No, I know that.
That's not on the table.
And we're close enough now with the vaccine where we can stay careful now if that everything goes smoothly in the next 3 months, or just be like, okay, just keep doing what you're doing. Try to keep it steady, not get any worse than this. But I don't know. You read different things, and like, you read one positive article and you read five things like everyone's going to die in the next week. Yeah, I don't know. I need to listen to the Masters music again. You look like you have something to say.
No.
No? Okay. We'll take a break and we'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that music just so nice?
Love that music.
Back for break. 349 of WDW Beyond the Gates is in the books. That match, like, we were just ranting and talking politics and COVID and getting our blood pressure up. Then you listen to a minute of that Masters music, and I'm just like back in my happy place.
I went into Dunkin' Donuts yesterday to get some breakfast sandwich and coffees for Mr. Casciano and I, and they had Christmas music on. So I was talking to the manager. I said, when did you put Christmas? She goes, you know, I just decided today I wanted to put Christmas music. I said, I'll tell you, I haven't heard Christmas music in so long. I said, and after this miserable year, I said, I had a smile on my face. So she looks at the kid who was helping me. She's like, see, at least somebody likes it. So he must have been giving her crap for playing the Christmas music. It's kind of funny.
I said that to Sarah. I was like, we should put our tree up early.
She's I was thinking the same thing.
She's like, I like Thanksgiving stuff. She likes all the fall decorations.
Oh, yeah. See, yeah, we don't do that. We're burning the fall candles, but we don't do the.
Yeah, we had that.
And but I understand what she's talking about, though, because you celebrate Thanksgiving. If your house is decorated for Thanksgiving, you probably want to keep that up. I completely understand what she's where she's coming from.
No, I do, too. So we're going to hold off another couple weeks, but it'll be good. Looking forward to it. The girls are excited about Christmas.
Have they been good? Is Santa going to take care of them this year?
I don't know. I might send
them. Could be some coal in their stockings.
There could be some coal. We'll see how it goes. It's a long 30 days or whatever until Christmas.
Guarantees, huh, Pods?
There's no guarantees in this house, no. Anything else you want to talk about?
Yeah, you know what? I want to give a shout out to our friend from Montana, Sydney.
Yes.
For the Tommy Fleetwood post.
Tommy Fleetwood.
Kristen this morning. She goes, hey, I saw this post on Instagram that was to like your podcast. And this girl was like talking about how she says Tommy Fleetwood, like in a messed up thing. Yeah. I'm thinking about how beautiful that is.
Yeah. Reposted it on our Instagram. So Susie saw it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm like, that is absolutely brilliant. That somebody that we've never met who lives in Montana is saying Tommy Fleetwood.
Yes.
Like, isn't that beautiful? Like
Ivor Robson. I was trying to find a clip of him saying.
Oh, I found one where the PGA players mimic him.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
Rory does his own. Because Rory did a good one, but Fleetwood did the best one. He did him perfectly, didn't he?
Oh, did he?
Oh, Tommy Fleetwood.
Tommy Fleetwood. Tiger Woods. That guy was great. He's still around. He just retired.
This is the 11-10 game. From the best one that when I first found him, it was when Tom Watson almost won from the USA. Tom Watson, I kept rewinding that. I'm like, that is the nerdiest thing I've ever heard.
Tom Watson from the USA. He says USA quick too.
From the USA, Tiger Woods.
That is great. That is funny though. She put that up. Just thinking, at least make her say Tommy Fleetwood.
I mean, how many people are huge Disney fans and they're listening? Like, what are these two idiots talking about?
Oh, if they made it to this point, then they're screwed.
That's true.
I mean, if you're not a golf fan, you tapped out of this episode after about a minute and a half, I would think. This is very golf heavy. Anyway, what else do we have to do? Our social media? Again, if you made it this far, you know where to find us. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, at WDWBTG. Subscribe wherever you download your podcast. Search for WDW Beyond the Gates. Go to youtube.com. Search for WDW Beyond the Gates. You can email the show info@WDWBTG.com, Mike@WDWBTG.com, and Gary@WDWBTG.com. Anything else or we get it?
We got everything.
All right. Thanks so much for listening to episode number 349 of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast with Mike and Gary. For my co-host Mike, my name is Gary. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Now it's time to say goodbye to all our company. MIC.
See you real soon.
KEY.
Why? Because we like you.